Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. I'm your host, Damon, and today I'm very, very excited to welcome back to the podcast, Evasia. Welcome back, Evasia.
Well, thanks so much for asking me to come, Damon.
So Evasia, what's something that God's been highlighting to you recently?
I think one of the main things is, even in my retirement, I have a pretty full schedule, but God's really been challenging me to make space for things that like are off my schedule. So like in the midst of it, he'll say like, do this. And I'll be like, okay, it doesn't make sense. But yeah, it's just having this kind of a open space for him to move.
Well, in fact, you actually had that happen to you this morning, right?
Right.
Can you share a little bit about it?
So I was actually supposed to meet with Kyle, and it was going to be kind of a jammed. I was going to meet right before I met with Damon. And I felt like the Lord said, cancel the time with Kyle and stay at the Y a little bit later. It will give you more space. And then...
What were you doing at the Y?
I was taking water aerobics. And so then Kyle responded, and we were going to meet a few days later. And so as I'm in the Y, I help them reset up the pool lanes. And one of these women comes up to me and she says, you know, you told me that you could help me set up this account with this app that I've set up. And I go, yeah, I'd absolutely like to help that. She goes, because I'm going to be going through surgery in the next few days. Now, this is a woman, we are on like polar opposites on views. And she says, I'm going in for surgery. And I immediately said, can I pray for you? And she grabs my hand and she goes, absolutely. And that's where prayer breaks down like polar opposites and meets you in the middle. And that's what God made space for. And then another woman came up to me right after that. And she says, I heard you're the one that can help me get on this app. And I said, yeah. And I helped her set it up. And I told her, I said, now that you're on the app, we use it for three things. One, for communication. You can see a schedule of classes, and then people post prayer requests. That was not the original intent, the prayer request, but that's what it's turned out to be. And that app has created space for God to move.
Yeah, that's super cool that you're able to get these different connections. And really, it all started with you creating space today by canceling your meeting with Kyle and then having room for God to move.
Exactly.
I think that's something that, you know, a lot of us can relate to. Sometimes we're thinking schedule-wise, I got to do this one thing, but for some reason, there's just this feeling that maybe I should cancel or maybe I should. But I think especially for me, a lot of times I continue with my schedule. So I think it's neat to hear a story about how you actually followed through with that and created space and what God did.
Well, actually, there was another, just the last week, I remember the Lord said, laid this person's name on my head and heart. I haven't seen him in about a year. And he also has some medical issues, and the Lord said, contact him. So I text him, just want to make sure he's okay. I don't hear from him. And then I text him the next day. I don't hear from him. I text him 3 days in a row, and I don't hear from him. And I'm like, God, is he alive or dead? Then I start recruiting other people to see if they have seen from him. And then what happened is we all got connected in a prayer for this guy that may not even know that we were trying to contact him. In fact, one of the women actually called his work to make sure he's okay. And we reconnected. So it was like, okay, God, you've put this person on my heart, but nothing's happening. At least I thought there was nothing happening.
Yeah. So did you guys ever connect with the guy?
Well, I still haven't heard from him, but the person who called his work, and he works in the police, and she called his commander, somehow went on the internet to find out where he works and had to go through all these systems and talk to his commander and found out he showed up for work. But we still haven't heard from him, but it's just, how far will you go when God lays a person on your heart to, you know, respond to his call? And I just kept pursuing.
Wow. Yeah. That seems like an amazing journey that you've been on to continue to pursue, even though you haven't seen any fruit yet or haven't heard back from the guy even. That's pretty amazing that you're continuing to pursue.
And I recruit, I couldn't do any more. I ran out of resources. So I started asking other people who knew him, and then it connected all of us again.
That's pretty amazing that you're continuing to do that. And I think we're going to come back to this in a little bit, and we'll connect some of the dots in a little bit too. But Evasia, one of the things that I wanted to come talk to you originally, it's kind of a funny story too. For this series, we're talking about different spiritual disciplines and spiritual practices. And I know that Evasia is always doing workouts. We're Apple Watch friends. And so it always says, Evasia finished a workout. She finished swimming. She finished a hike. She finished all of these different things. And so originally I thought, oh, wow, Evasia is spending so much time with the Lord because I know that she connects with the Lord in nature. So I thought, okay, she's be perfect to come and talk about silence and solitude and being able to spend time with the Lord. So when I approached her about it, she said, I'm not ready to talk about that. I don't do that anymore. And so it was kind of interesting. So as we were talking, one of the things that kept coming up, it was she was sharing about how all of these times that she's been doing these workouts have been with other people and people at the Y, people at the Nature Center. And she's been able to create this community for herself with all these different people. And she's been sharing some of these stories with me about just some of the conversations that they've had and how it's so cool how God is using her to minister to them and just really the community that she's created because she's been intentional. So I wanted to change what we're talking about today. It's not going to be silence and solitude, but it's about being intentional in our relationships and creating community. So Evasia, can you share a little bit about your journey of creating community and being intentional in relationships?
Well, actually, and we were going to talk about this a little later, but it actually came out of, I was waking up every morning feeling like really anxious and I couldn't put a finger on it. I'm like, I don't even know what I'm anxious about. Mm-hmm. I think Pastor Barry was talking about that a few weeks ago, saying there's this kind of anxiousness around, mm-hmm. and I didn't even get to make it in the service. And I remember I shared with Kyle, I'm like, I don't know what's going on. And he goes, Barry just talked about that. And mm-hmm. so I go, oh. And there was a comfort in that somebody else, other people are feeling this. But I noticed that when I got around other people, that anxiety started to dissipate. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I'm not meant to do life alone. And mm-hmm. Damon was saying, you know, you're in solitude. And I go, no, I'm not. I'm actually with people in all these things I'm doing. And so I needed to be intentional about my community because emotionally I was struggling, like being alone. I just started living alone again. And that wasn't bothering me. It was the, I don't know what to do now. And I need people. I need God, obviously, but the people were giving me the, just speaking life into me because there's a lot of believers that I'm around in these communities. So that's actually how it started. And when Damon said, speak on solitude, I'm like, I'm not. I'm with people all the time.
I know that's what happens when you get all your information from your Apple Watch and not actually talking to the person about what they're going through. But so Evasia, as you've been experiencing this community, what's it been like for you to be more intentional about taking your relationships from kind of surface level to going deeper? What does that look like? I think it's so easy for us in our modern times now to keep relationships at surface level, but I really feel like God has created us with a desire for intimacy and to be in relationship. And that's why, you know, in Genesis, it says man was not made to be alone, right? So what does that look like for you to approach people and kind of go deeper? What does that look like?
Well, I think what's been happening recently, and I don't even know if it's on my own doing, I really feel like it's been God, is I was really struggling and still do with my own faith. Mm. I'm like, I would ask God, I said, you know, pray for the desires of our heart, and I'd pursue after what I felt God was leading me to, and I wouldn't see it, or it would just end. So God started bringing people around me that their struggles were much tougher than mine. I mean, I had a woman at the Y, her husband committed suicide. Another woman going through breast cancer, a friend whose father died in the hospital and she didn't get to say goodbye, and just, court cases. And I'm like, these people are thriving in their faith still. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I need people like that. So it was like me going to them and saying, how do you do this? Mm-hmm. How do you still hold on to your faith despite what you're going through? And they just start talking to me, and I would be in tears most of the time because I'm like, how do they do this? Because their faith didn't seem to waver. Even when they don't understand and it's not going their way, their faith was their bedrock. So it was like I was grabbing onto their lifeline to God. Like what Pastor Sam was saying the other day at church, he says he didn't have any faith, but the people around him had faith. So I feel like a lot of times right now I am surrounding myself because of the faith of other people. Mm-hmm. Just like they give me hope in the midst of all that's going on.
Yeah, so some of these relationships that you're building with people is actually helping your faith to be strengthened because you're experiencing their faith as they go through these different things and different trials. It seems interesting that right now we're in a season. Oh. Oh, I'll keep talking. Okay, so it's interesting that you're in a season right now. Actually, let's pause. Okay, so we're back. And that might have seemed a little bit strange, but it was kind of a something that we've been debriefing for the last few minutes. So, Evasia, can you share a little bit of what actually just happened and why we took a pause?
Well, it was interesting because as we were sharing, and I had really felt like I was supposed to be more vulnerable and kind of tell people that I'm struggling, but not to discourage people, but to say, to let people know that, you know, as leaders, we struggle, mm-hmm. we have faith crises. And as soon as I start talking about it, my whole throat started to close up. And I'm kind of like pointing at Damon, and I'm like pointing at my throat, and I'm like, I can't talk.
Yeah, originally I thought she was just going to cough, and I was going to say, just cough and then come back to the mic. But I could tell it was a little bit more than just a cough.
Yeah, my whole voice changed. It was like, it felt like I had laryngitis, mm-hmm. and my throat started to close up. So there are these points when you're like, okay, I'm stepping in, and the enemy tries and distract you.
Yeah.
Or even scare you. You're like, what's going on? Oh, I knew I shouldn't have done this. But we're like, no, we're pressing through this.
Yeah, we're going to power through it.
Yeah, and it's not like this, we're going to, like an athlete or anything, but it's like we were debriefing and like, we need to let people know that the enemy is real and will attack, but God, our God is so much stronger.
And so I think it's interesting too, the direction that we were going is that you were going to start sharing about just how vulnerable and how it's been, this season has been for you, and how it's been a rough kind of a struggle season for you. Can you share a little bit about that?
Well, like I was saying, I was waking up most mornings with this anxiousness. And so I started doing like these Bible reading plans on anxiety. And at first I'm like, I don't want other people to see what I'm reading about. And it's interesting, even as I talk about that right now, my voice is getting like that again. But so I started going, and I'm still going to step into what God has led me. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to be real about it, that it's hard. And our Thrive group, amazing team that we have with Jeannie, John, Sam, and Henry. And Jeannie got sick with one of our sessions, and so I was supposed to lead and with Henry. And I went on Friday, it went really well, and I came home, and these two cats that I have, I noticed one was acting kind of strange. They can come in and out. And the next day I discovered that it had been attacked. Mm. There's cat fur all over. Another animal came in and got to it, and I'm like, okay, God, I am stepping into what my calling is, and yet I am experiencing anxiety, my faith I'm not even sure about, and my own animals, I feel like I can't protect them. So I'm like, this is not fun, but I still want to make space for you. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm at right now. And then I actually started putting on my phone a reminder the cure for anxiety, and I put this Bible verse. So
and you got that idea for the reminder on your phone from Brandon, right?
Yeah, I actually still have it on my phone where at 2 o'clock every day it says who's in charge, and I never took it off, and I see that and I'm like, I don't know who's in charge. I know God's in charge, that's the right answer. Mm-hmm. But you know, sometimes I feel like, yeah, who is in charge? Am I letting God be in charge? That's ultimately what I want to happen.
Yeah. So something cool that we were talking about before we started recording was Brett was here and we were talking about this season and about how you were feeling like it's been a struggle season. It's been a wrestling season with your faith. But as you were sharing the story that you were shared at the beginning of this episode about how when you were created space for what the Lord was doing and then you were actually ministering to some of these women, it was like, wow, you're struggling, but you're still making space for the Lord. You're still being obedient to his calling. You're still reaching out to people. And to me, that was so cool. And to Brett, that's one of the things that he said was highlighted to him was just how you're continuing to pursue the Lord and pursue what he has for you, even in this time where you're struggling with your faith. Where do you think that comes from?
I have always had a passionate desire to follow God, no matter what. That has been a given for me. The hardest thing for me is like Barry's challenge, this 30-day challenge, how do you see me? And I even write poetry on it, manual journaling, you know, how do you see me? And I've done that. But recently it's been harder to do is, do I believe what God's saying and do I want to ask him? Is if he says this, do I believe it? Because that takes it to another intimacy level. Mm-hmm. Do I trust God for what he's saying? Mm. And so if I'm not trusting him right now and then he says this and then it doesn't feel true to me, does that make my disappointment even harder and stepping in? So the obedience is a easy thing because it's a mind thing. Mm-hmm. It's the believing what God says. And then the other thing that all three of us, Brett, along with Damon and myself, we were talking about is it's easier to believe it for someone else.
Yeah.
But not for yourself. I mean, I can see it in other people. It's like a no-brainer. And I see how God sees them. But to believe it for myself, that's a whole nother ballgame.
Yeah, and I think that's one reason that Pastor Barry is having us do this 30-day challenge during the season is because it is so easy for us a lot of times to see things for other people more than we can see for ourselves. And I feel like that's something that Pastor Barry feels like is going to help us to take it to the next level in our faith is when we're able to see the things that other people see in us for ourselves and believe that too.
Exactly. And I think it's this whole intimacy. Mm-hmm. Do I believe and do I trust him? That's where I want to go deeper with him.
Yeah, and as we're talking, one of the things that comes to mind is I think we talked about it in the last episode too, is the working out our salvation and not working for our salvation. And it's like, if this is how God sees me, but I'm not there yet, how do I get there? Do I need to work for that? Do I need to earn it? No, but God is already saying this is how he sees me. So I think part of it is just us on this journey, it's working out what's already true about us and being able to get from where we are to experiencing it too. And it's not working for it, but it's working it out.
Well, it's interesting because I've started writing this book, but I've also put it down a number of times. But I called it
All right, sign me up to be the first one to buy it.
It's called A Warrior in the Wilderness. Mm-hmm. But one of the stories is about Gideon. And here Gideon is hiding out in a wine press. Mm-hmm. And then God says, almighty warrior. Now, warriors don't hide out in a wine press, but he already saw Gideon for who he was. Mm-hmm. And so that is my desire, is to be seen as a warrior in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. That's how God sees each of us. No matter where we are, whether we're in a wine press or we're on the front lines, we are still warriors, mm-hmm. regardless of where our position is in the line.
Yeah, and if we take that story out further, right, Gideon starts where he's hiding in the wine press, and then later he's leading a small army against a huge army to victory, right? And God was even telling him, no, your army's too big, you got to get rid of some of these people. And to go into battle with a small army that takes so much courage. And so it's like this huge transformation in him to go from where he was to how God had already seen him as this mighty warrior.
Right. I mean, he was even called a warrior before he was a warrior. Mm-hmm. And actually, one of the first things he was called to do is take down the altars of his own father. Mm. And I mean, if anyone is the hardest to share your faith with, a lot of times it's your own family members. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes you as a warrior, it's for your families, mm-hmm. or your friends. And that's where God will call you and you're like, how will they respond? How will they react? But this is what you're called to do.
Yeah. And a lot of it is just that, kind of like we talked about earlier, is just being intentional in those relationships to be able to get to those places where you can share some of those things with them too.
Exactly.
So, Evasia, during this struggle season, have there been any things that, other than seeking out community, which you've already shared about, are there any other things that you've been doing to kind of navigate this season?
I think, like, every morning I do, like, a devotional. And then what I started doing is, like, one of them was Brandon's. I kept that on there.
Yeah.
And then I was sharing about that one, I put one recently, Cure for Anxiety. Mm-hmm. And then this verse, and I felt like the Lord said, I want you to have this every day on your phone at 7 o'clock in the morning. It says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. So I felt I needed a daily reminder. And that verse comes alive every day for me. So whenever I start getting anxious, I'm like, okay, shape it into a prayer. Okay, God, shape it into a prayer. And that's, you know, whether it's a song, whether it's a poem, whatever it is, a walk, I shape it into a prayer and let him have my concerns.
I think that's such a good practice that you've been doing, where you are taking this season where you feel like you're struggling, but you have these different practices like that to help you navigate the season and help you to feel like you're flourishing even in a season where it seems like it's hard.
I think that sometimes the greatest times that you flourish is when you're struggling, because it's not easy. Your dependency is on God. Mm-hmm. And so I think our hearts are closer to God at that time, because mm-hmm. I can't do it on my own. Mm-hmm. I need him. It was like Pastor Sam was saying, do you really want me to take this away? Mm-hmm. Because it's drawing me closer to you.
Yeah, that part's actually really funny. So Pastor Sam, in his last sermon, he shared about how when things were going hard for his family and some of their health, he knew that the Lord was working, but at the same time, he was like, I want this to be done. I want this to be over. I'm ready. And he felt like the Lord said, like, do you want it to be over, or do you want what I'm doing to be complete? Right. And so it was kind of like this asking, what's your real heart desire? Do you want what I'm working on, what I'm doing, to be complete, or do you want this to just to be done? Because if it's going to be done quick, it won't be complete. But if it's going to be complete, it won't be done quick. And it's funny, because in my small group, my men's group, shout out to the guys that meet on second and fourth Thursdays on Zoom with Don, shout out. But we're going through the book of James, and it seems like that's one of the themes is, how do we go through struggle times? How do we go through trials? How do we go through things that when we're suffering? And what do we do? And in chapter one, it talks about the double-minded man. And as we were talking about it as a group and we're discussing it, it's like, really, when we go through trials and suffering, how are we going to approach it? Are we going to approach it with, we just want it to be over? Or are we going to approach it with, we want what God is doing to be made complete and be made whole, so that we can be made complete and we can be made whole, because God is doing something in us? And so, yeah, sometimes we come across that tension where we just want things to be done quickly because it's hard, but the Lord is doing something different. And I think that's where Pastor Sam's sermon is so good, because he talked a lot about looking at the results of it and not just what's going on right now or what it's producing.
And it's also that, you know, we were talking about at the beginning, it's that making space in the midst of the struggle. Is do we want to make space to let God move in the struggle? I kind of had this plan. It should, like Damon and I, we were talking about at the beginning, he knew certain people he'd wanted to talk on certain subjects. If you want to share about that, Damon.
Oh, yeah. I was excited during this season that we're talking about spiritual disciplines, and I had this list of all these disciplines, and I was like, okay, I want to talk about silence and solitude, and I'm going to talk about Evasia about it, and then I have all of these other practices that I wanted to talk about, and then I was putting different names to it, and every time I talked to someone, just like with Evasia, I'd say, oh, do you want to talk about this subject? And they would say, no, I don't want to talk about that subject. And in my mind, I was like, this is perfect subject for you. Why don't you want to talk about it? And then they would say, but I will talk about this subject. And it was like, oh, yeah. And I felt like the Lord said, look at the people that I'm highlighting and not necessarily the content. And then as you approach the people that I'm highlighting, they'll let you know what content is supposed to come out from when they come on the podcast. So I feel like it was kind of a paradigm shift and a change in direction, but it was really just trying to say, yeah, God, you know what you're doing, even when I don't. And so I might have this plan, but your plan is better. So Evasia, I just wanted to say thanks again for this time that you've shared with us. Thanks for coming on, even though it's been a difficult season for you, but I really appreciate your authenticity and your openness to being vulnerable. And I feel like that's going to be something that helps our people to be able to really experience the Lord in a deeper way, because they're seeing it and seeing it being modeled in people, even when it's not easy to share, right? It's never easy to share when we're struggling. So just thanks for coming on, Evasia.
I just want to do, just as you were talking, Damon, is there's just two things that the Lord has really, two songs, actually. One was Jehovah Jireh. The Lord was having me hear that every single day. And then the other song, God is in this story. And it says, whether you're going through, you know, like hard times, depression, whatever it is, God's still in the story. And so Henry in our group, talks a lot about memorial stones. And Kyle talked about it a few weeks ago with the soap, is having those things that we can look back and go, even though it was hard, these are my memorial stones that help me remember who God was, who he is, and who he's always will be. So just thanks, Damon, for asking me. It feels like a privilege every single time.
Yeah, thanks again for coming on. So until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.
Thanks for listening to the Engage to Flourish podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. You can check out more of our content on our YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook pages by searching for Catalyst Christian Community. If you want to check out our church in person, we meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. at Stanford Middle School in Long Beach. We'd love for you to come out and experience being a part of our church family.